Paradise Hotel is the only place in the world where a person can be happy when he's in a traffic jam. Baruch Hashem, so many Jews in Eretz Yisrael.
Hey, why?
You just said there's so many Jews in Eretz
Yisrael. Oh, I got that.
I'm sure Yishayahu HaNavi would give anything to be able to be in a traffic jam in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we're going to talk a little about Lag BaOmer, which is without a doubt the most mysterious day of the year. You look in most Sfarim, they drop little hints here and there of what the Lag BaOmer is about. But in the words of Rav Chaim David HaLevi, Rav Hanistar Al Hanigle, there's more hidden than that which is revealed regarding Lag BaOmer. And what we're going to do today is try and pull all the strings together. Usually a half-hour shiur for an hour and a half topic is a killer, but at least today we have 40 minutes?
Until 7:30.
7:30, okay. First, let's brainstorm. What do you know about Lag BaOmer? And don't worry if the points seem totally unrelated, because that's exactly what we're going to try and do. What do you know about Lag BaOmer?
Bonfires.
Okay. Bonfires.
Rashmi.
Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai.
Tamid of Stapinko.
Okay. Tamidei Rabbi Akiva.
Bows and arrows.
Oh. Bows and arrows. The elementary schools in America still go out on field day on Lag BaOmer?
Yeah.
Softball. Like against the staff?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's always rained out?
Yeah.
So something's never changed. Okay. I remember when I was in eighth grade, finally the eighth graders were beating the staff, and then it started raining, and then the staff very quickly called it a rain out.
They always tell us I'll make it up like within every day.
Exactly. No, they made up another day, but it was also rained out. What else? What else do we know about Lag BaOmer? These are the main things. There's another figure, which if you grew up in Israel, you'd hear that the bonfires, most of the songs have to do with either Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai or Bar Kokhba. Right? Have you heard of Bar Kokhba? And the question is, how does he fit in here? These are the main hints. And let's see the sources inside. Let's start with source 2, the famous Gemara Masechet Yevamot, Daf Samach Bet Amud Bet. Want to bring these closer, or they can pick up from there?
Oh, yeah, sure.
The Gemara Masechet Yevamot, which is the source for the Hilchot Avelut during the Omer, Amru 12,000 zugim talmidim hayulol Rabbi Akiva. 12,000 couples of students. Why are they counted in couples? Chavrut, exactly. Shivot always learned in Chavruta. 12,000 couples. Students of Rabbi Akiva, migvat vad antipras. This is from the north, from the Galil, until Antipras is Petach Tikva. If you know Rosh Ha'ain, there's a mivtzar, a fortress called Antipatrus there. Okay, it's still there till this day. V'chulan metu beperek echad. And all of them died in the same time, in the same period. Mipnei shelo nagu kavod ze lezeh. Because they didn't honor each other. Tana. The Tanaim teach, Kulam metu mi Pesach vad Atzeret. Right? When was the period where they died? Between Pesach and Shavuot. Amar Rav Chama bar Abba, v'yitem Rabbi Chiya bar Avin. Kulam metu mita ra'a. All of them died a terrible death. As the Gemara, Mayhi, what was that terrible death? Amar Rav Nachman, Askara. Askara, we don't know exactly what it is. Anybody remember how they explained this to you in elementary school? How did the students of Rabbi Akiva die? Askara literally means choking. right? Or something is stuffed up. It's usually, that's how it's explained. And the question is, why does the Gemara have to stress that they died a terrible death, and then go into detail why, what it was? And we'll talk about that. Okay, that's a famous Gemara. Now, if we want to start pulling all of these things together, by the way, there's another aspect where Shimon Bar Yochai, according to the legend, died on Lag BaOmer, but on the day of his death, and this is what's significant, he revealed, anybody? The Zohar. In other words, Lag BaOmer is considered the birthday of the Kabbalah. Okay, of the publicization of the Kabbalah. Now, Kabbalah, as you all know, in basic Hebrew, literally means?
Reception.
Now, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we know, according to the Gemara Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Gimel, he taught the Kabbalah to his son, Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar got it, accepted it from his father. Who did Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai learn it from? Well, we know who his Rebbe was. Who was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Rebbe? Rabbi Akiva. That just kicked the question up one generation. Who did Rabbi Akiva learn the Kabbalah from? Because you have to receive it from somebody. The answer is the Gemara Masechet Chagigah, which most people don't put one and one together. It's a famous Gemara, but most people don't mikasher. The Gemara Chagigah Yudalet Amud Bet, Tanu Rabbanan, Arba Nichnesu Bepardes. Four rabbis entered the Pardes. Most of you probably know. What is Pardes? It's actually Rashi Tevot. Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. Pshat plus Remez plus Drash plus Sod. In other words, this is the depths of the Torah, where it's really a code name for Sod, for the secrets of the Torah. Because everyone learns Pshat, Remez, and Drash. Right? But this is like a code name for those who also learn Sod, the Kabbalah. So four rabbis entered the Pardes. Pardes literally means
orchard.
So they went into the orchard, which is a code name, to learn the Kabbalah. Ve'eluhin. Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Acher, who's Acher? Elisha ben Avuya, who became an apikoros, this is the story, and Rabbi Akiva. Amarlem Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva turned to the other three rabbis and said, "Kshatim magi'in etzel avnei shayish tahor, when you see the pure marble in the pardes," I'm not going to explain to you what pure marble is because I don't know. But Rabbi Akiva tells them, "When you see the pure marble, al tomru mayim mayim. Don't say it's water. It's water." Mishum she'ne'amar dover shkarim lo yichon l'neged einai. Falsity, those who speak falsehood, will not exist before God. This is a Kabbalistic Gemara, without a doubt. But even somebody who's never learned Kabbalah in his life can deduce a couple of things. Number one, who's the leader of the four? Rabbi Akiva. He knows a little more than the others, even before he goes into the Pardes. Number two, when he says to the others, "When you see the pure marble, don't yell, it's water, it's water." What he's telling them is, what you see is not what you get. In other words, the basics of Kabbalah is don't accept the world at face value. The world is a lot deeper. Did we have a shiur this year on the hidden meaning of Lashon HaKodesh? Of the Hebrew letters. Maybe we'll do that. That's a very interesting gash. It's a taste of Kabbalah. Maybe we'll do it next week. Very, very interesting topic. Once we're on the topic of Kabbalah. But that's basically what it is. It means to say that an aleph is not just a letter. A shulchan is not just a shulchan. If you understand what a shin, a lamed, a chet, and a nun is, you'll have a much deeper understanding of a shulchan. The same thing if you understand what gavi is about. Gimel, bet, yud, right? That gives you a deeper understanding of understanding the person. In other words, Rabbi Akiva is telling him, Pardes, Kabbalah, is about revealing the internal and not just seeing the external. Okay? That's what's called Chochmah Pnimit. That's another one name for Kabbalah. The inner Torah. Okay, what happened to the four? Benazai hitzitz v'met, he died. Benzoma hitzitz v'nivga, he went crazy. Acher kitzitz b'netiot, Elisha ben Avuya became an apikores. Rabbi Akiva yatza b'shalom. Only Rabbi Akiva came out healthy. In other words, if Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai on Lag BaOmer talks about revealing the Kabbalah, and we learn here from Masechet Chagigah that it was his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, who taught him the Kabbalah, and where did Rabbi Akiva learn it from? In the Pardes, whatever that means. It was Ruach HaKodesh, Bakadosh Baruch Hu, Eliyahu HaNavi, we don't know. But one thing for sure, there is a clear connection between the students of Rabbi Akiva, one of which is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and the Kabbalah. And what is the Torah that is learnt in the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Akiva, that we mourn his 24,000 students? It's the total Torah. It's a Torah where Pshat doesn't contradict Remez, which doesn't contradict Drash, which doesn't contradict Sod. It's the Torah which unites the internal and the external. That is the Torah of Rabbi Akiva and his 24,000 students. Okay? Let's see source 3. Another famous Gemara, Masechet Menachot, Kavdet Amud Bet, Amar Rav Yehuda, Marav, Bisha She'ala Moshe Lemarom, Matzola Kadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Kosher Ktarim Lotiot. Moshe Rabbeinu saw, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, I'm sorry, Moshe Rabbeinu saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu drawing the little crowns on the Shatnez Gatz. You know, they're Shin Ayin Tet Nun Zayin Gimel Tzadi letters where they have these Ktarim, how do you say in English?
Crowns.
Okay. Amar lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, mi me'akev al yadecha? God, who's forcing you to sit down and sweat over all of these crowns? Amar lo adam echad yesh she'atid liot besof kama dorot v'akiva ben Yosef shmo she'atid lidrosh kol kotz v'kotz tilei tilin shel halachot. We say that Rabbi Akiva isn't just a Kabbalist. He learns, is medayek, deduces darshin halachot together with pardes. In other words, the halachot, which is the external Torah, together with the Kabbalah, which is the internal Torah, Rabbi Akiva unites them, and that is his Torah. Yeah?
But was the Torah not originally written in Asherit?
It was.
So
but the crowns.
From?
Sorry?
So
that's a big question.
Old script and the new script with the crowns.
You know, if you come next week, I'll answer you in a nutshell. The Rambam, in one of his Igrot, in one of his letters, explains that there always was a Kodesh and a Chol. Just like today, the script that I write is not Ashurit. It's not box letters. It's not, print, what we call print, right? Why? The same thing in the Sephardic countries, they used to use Rashi letters. And in the time of the writing of the Tanakh, they used to use what we called Old Hebrew. That was used for Chol. And archaeologists found that all of the things which were written in Chol, for secular, was written in what we call Old Hebrew. The manuscripts of which were Kodesh is in Otiot Ashuriot, which are the box letters. And those have a higher letter of Kedusha. But that's mamash not our topic, because you have time for what we're going to do. Source 4. Another example of the unity of Rabbi Akiva's Torah. Stam Matnitin Rabbi Meir. You all know that if a Mishnah doesn't have a name of an author, who wrote it? Rabbi Meir. That's what's called a Stam Mishnah. Stam Tosefta is Rabbi Nechemya. Stam Sifra. Sifra is Midrash Halacha on Vayikra. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Stam Sifrei. That's Midrash Halacha on Bamidbar and Devarim. That's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. V'chul hu aliba de Rabbi Akiva. All of them are in the name of Rabbi Akiva. All of these students, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, are all students of Rabbi Akiva. In other words, when we mourn the Torah of Rabbi Akiva for the 24,000 students, we're mourning the Beit Midrash with a capital T. And again, the Torah of unity. Torah is based on, most of Torah is Mishnah, Tosefta, Sifra, Sifrei, together equals what? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva knew it all and united it all. Source 5, Avot Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi praises all and evaluates all the Tanaim. Mona Shivchan Shel Chachamim, Sher Rabbi Tarfon, Sher Rabbi Akiva, etc. What does he say about Rabbi Akiva on the second line of Source 5? Rabbi Akiva Karalo Otsar Balum. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said Rabbi Akiva is a treasure which doesn't lose a drop. It's totally closed. He knows everything. Lema Rabbi Akiva Dome, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi gives a mashal. Rabbi Akiva is like lepoel shenatal kupato v'yatza lechutz. He takes his backpack, goes outside, matza chitim, finds wheat, meniach bat, puts it in his pack, matza seorim, barley, puts it in his pack, kusmin, spelt, puts it in his pack, adashim, lentils, puts it in his pack. Kevan shenichnas lebeito, what's happened in the meantime? What does he have in his pack? What? A balagan. It's all mixed up. Rabbi Akiva comes home, mivarer chitim bifnei atzman, sorim bifnei atzman, pulim bifnei atzman, adashim bifnei atzman. Kach asa Rabbi Akiva. He does the miyun. He does the borer. He organizes the Torah. Ve'asa kol atorah tabaot tabaot. Again, notice, chevra, it's the same thing which is recurring all the time. The idea that Rabbi Akiva takes one thing, another, and another, and another, and unites it together. Another, 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 unites it together. The same thing here. I won't write it on the board, but you all get the idea. Okay? This is the Torah of uniting even things which seem to be opposites. Now, why is this such a chidush? If you go to most yeshivot, and you look at most gedolim specialize in one or two fields in Gemara, and even within Gemara. So some are specialists in Bikiut. Others specialize in Iyun. Others specialize in Halacha. Others specialize in Tanakh. Some specialize in Chasidut. Some in Musar. Some in Kabbalah. Right? There are a lot of different... It's very few Rabbanim who know it all. Rabbi Akiva specialized in everything. And that's a big chidush. To unite all the different aspects. Yeah.
Doesn't it say that he took everything that was jumbled up together and separated everything?
Separated to organize it. What does it mean? He organized it. In other words, one Beit Midrash has this, another has that, another has that. Rabbi Akiva collected it all and organized it. Okay? Chevra, now we're starting the Shiur. All this is an introduction. There's a famous Gemara in Masechet Makot, which you all know from the very end in Source 6. Because it's so famous, we'll just go to the main point. The fifth line. Shuf pam achat hayu olin li Yerushalayim. A bunch of rabbis, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Akiva, were on their way up to Yerushalayim. Kevan shehigiu lahar HaTzofim, when they got to Mount Scopus, where Hebrew U is, karu vigdehem. They saw Yerushalayim, and they did Kriya. Remember, we're talking about 70 years after the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. Kevan shehigiu lahar HaBayit, they came closer, ra'u shu'al shiyatza mibet kodshi HaKodashim. They saw a fox running out of where the Kodesh HaKodashim used to be. Hitchilu hen bochin, Rabbi Akiva mitzachek. They're all crying. Rabbi Akiva starts laughing. Amru lo mipnei mata mitzachek. Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? Amar lehem mipnei ma atem bochin. Why am I laughing? Why are you crying? Amru lo. They said, why are we crying? Makom shekatu bo v'azara karev yumat, ve'achshav shu'alim milchu bo v'lo nifkeh. Of course we're crying. There are foxes running in the Kodesh Kodeshim. Amar lehen lekach ani mitzachek. That's davka why I'm laughing. Why? Because dichtiv, it says in Yeshayahu, focus well. Ve'aida li'edim ne'emanim, Yeshayahu says, I will bring witnesses. Who are the witnesses? Uriah Kohen, Zechariah ben Yevarchiyahu. Two witnesses. Asks Rabbi Akiva, V'chima inyan Uriah etzel Zechariah. How could these two witnesses testify together? Uriah b'migdash rishon, Zechariah b'migdash sheni. There's 100 years separating the two. Right? Uriah is in the first Beit HaMikdash, Zechariah is in the second Beit HaMikdash. And you all know the first halacha of Hilchot Edim is that two Edim have to see the same sight at the same time. So what's Yeshayahu talking about? Ela, Tala HaKatuv Nevuato Shel Zechariah B'Nevuato Shel Uriah. The Pasuk is interdepending one Nevuah on the other. Be'Uriah K'tiv L'chin B'Glalchem Tzion Sadeh Techaresh. Uriah says that because of your sins, the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. Zechariah writes, Od yeshvu zekenim uzkenot berchovot Yerushalayim. The day will come where old men and women will sit in the streets of Yerushalayim. Sound familiar? On the courtyard? I don't know what direction we're in. Right? You all know what I talked about? About where the old people will sit and the children will play in the courtyards of Yerushalayim. That's the pasuk, right? When you see old people playing checkers or reading their papers or children playing in the streets, that's a kiyuma fulfillment of this nevuah. Rabbi Akiva says, An shelo nitkayma nevuato shel Uriah, hayiti mityare shelo titkayem nevuato shel Zechariah. Until I saw the fulfillment of the Churban, how did I know that the fulfillment of Geula is going to come true? How do you know? Achshav shenitkayma nevuato shel Uriah, again, both witnesses testify one for the other together. Now that I see that foxes are running in the Kodesh HaKadashim, and the first nevuah of Churban has been fulfilled, biyadua shenevuato shel Zechariah mitkayemet. Now I know for a fact that the second nevuah of Geula, just like there was Galut, there's going to be Geula, and that's also going to be fulfilled. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Nevi'im have truth. B'lashon hazeh amru lo. His friends answered him, Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva nichamtanu. Akiva, you have consoled us. Notice, what is the word mitkayemet? Rabbi Akiva says, just like the nevuah of Churban took place, so too the nevuah of Geula, what should it say? Yitkayem, in the future. Rabbi Akiva says, mitkayemet. It's being fulfilled in the present. What does he mean? Chevra, the whole story of Rabbi Akiva and Lag BaOmer became clarified about 100 years ago. I don't know if your Ramim bring the Gaonim. Do your Rabbim bring Otsar HaGaonim ever? You all heard of the Gaonim, right? Torah didn't begin with Rashi, right? Before Rashi, there's 500 years of Gaonim. The problem is, most of the Gaonim, they didn't write books. Rabbeinu Hananel was the only one who has like a running perush on most of the Shas. What did they write? They wrote, people used to ask them questions in Halakha, how to explain this Gemara, how to explain that Gemara, and their Torah, because it wasn't written in books, was lost. Until they found in the Cairo Geniza, about 100 years ago. Have you all heard of the Cairo Geniza? Solomon Schechter, he wasn't the first one, but he's the most famous, went into this old shul in Cairo, and as opposed to Ashkenazim, when a sefer gets old, we bury it. The Sfaradim would put it in a room called a Geniza. And they just make piles and piles and piles and piles and piles and piles. I guess real estate is cheaper in the Arabic countries. And about 100 years ago, some European tourists were visiting Alexandria, and they told them about this famous room where they have old books from the Geniza from more than 1,000 years old. He asked if he could see them. To make a long story short, they found in their unbelievable treasures of Sfarim that got lost, and Girsot to the Gemara that got lost, and most importantly, the entire Torah of the Gaonim all of a sudden became unraveled. Now, we're running out of time, because we only have 15 minutes and we're just mama starting. Write it down if you want to ask me at the end. Maybe the most famous, the most important of the revelations was the Igaret of Rav Shri Ragon in the original. Rav Shri Ragon was asked to make Seder of the period of the Tanaim and Amorim. Who lived when? Who was whose Rebbe? You know, because there are hints in the Shas, but unless you learned all the Shas and you have a very organized mind, it's hard to figure out who was who and who lived when. Rav Shri Ragon writes about Rabbi Akiva's generation in Source 7. Please look in the second line of Source 7. Shneimasar elif zugot talmidim hayulo l'Rabbi Akiva migvat vad antipras v'chula metu b'shamda. Shmad, some of you may know, is a pogrom. This was written, Rav Shri Ragon lived only a couple hundred years after Rabbi Akiva. And he is telling us that Rabbi Akiva did not die in a plague. And it wasn't diphtheria or tuberculosis. But he and his 24,000 students were killed by the Romans. Why were they killed by the Romans? What we're going to do now is just put a couple of pieces from different puzzles together, but you'll see something awesome. But we got to do this quickly, so focus well. Source 8 is one of the few lines in all of the Talmud Bavli and Yerushalmi regarding Bar Kokhba, the Bar Kokhba rebellion, which passed the censorship. The Romans didn't like the Bar Kokhba rebellion because it was against them. So there is almost no mention of the Bar Kokhba rebellion except for this line. Let's see it inside. Tani Rebbe Shimon ben Yochai. Notice who's talking. Rebbe Shimon bar Yochai. Akiva Rabbi, my Rebbe, Rebbe Akiva, Hayad Doresh, he would darshan on the Pasuk, Darach Kochav mi Yaakov, a shooting star will shoot out of Yaakov, Darach Koziba mi Yaakov. Koziba, who is Bar Koziba? That's the original name of Bar Kochva. He was nicknamed Bar Kochva because of this drasha. Rabbi Akiva kad havichami Bar Koziba. Rabbi Akiva, when he saw Bar Kochva, haviyamar, he would say, din hu malka mashicha. This is the Mashiach. And the Rambam points out in Source 9, let's look in Source 10. Look in the second line of the Rambam in Hilchot Ta'anit. Talks about the Bar Kokhba rebellion. Vayale melech gadol v'dimu kol Yisrael ugdolei hachachamim shu melech ha-mashiach. Bar Kokhba and all of the people and the gadol hachachamim, when he points out gadolei hachachamim, the greatest of the rabbis, the Rambam knows that in the continuation of the Yerushalmi, there is Rabbi Yochanan ben Torto who disagrees. But most of the rabbis in the time of Rabbi Akiva followed Bar Kokhba. They were part of the Bar Kokhba rebellion. V'nafal biad goyim, v'nergu kulam, v'ayta tzara gdola kmo churban ha-mikdash. When the students of Rabbi Akiva were killed in the Bar Kokhba rebellion, now you understand, why do we mourn so much? There have been a lot of tragedies in Jewish history. The answer is, the Bar Kokhba rebellion was seen as the third Binyan Beit HaMikdash. There's an article in Tchumin Yud Zayin, if you want to see, that those historians who claim that Bar Kokhba and Rabbi Akiva even built a third Beit HaMikdash. Whether they did or not, read the article in Tchumin, form your own opinion. We know for a fact that Bar Kokhba minted coins at least 5 years. I brought an example of the coins you see on the left. You see that coin? Now, what's interesting about that coin? Hevra, I blew it up here. This is the Bar Kokhba, one of the Bar Kokhba coins. If you notice, it's a lulav, and the bottom is an etrog, and you see one hadas and one arava. Isn't that interesting? All you know, how many hadasim do we take? Three. How many aravot do we take?
Two.
What does Bar Kokhba do one hadas and one arava? Let's see the Mishnah Masechet Sukkah, Source 12. Rabbi Yishmael says, how many do we need? Shlosha hadasim, shtei aravot, lulav echad v'etrog echad. That's the minhag. Skip a line. Rabbi Akiva omer, keshem shel lulav echad v'etrog echad, just like you have one lulav and one etrog, hadas echad v'arava echad. Hevra, why does Bar Kokhba mint his coins with one hadas and one arava. He's from the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Akiva. You all with me? Source 11. A very interesting Gemara, which now you'll begin to understand. Atu chakeku, Gemara Navodah Zarah Yudchet Amud Bet. The Romans chakeku lidmute de Rabbi Meir apitcha de Romi. They chiseled the portrait of Rabbi Meir, who was a student of Rabbi Akiva. His picture was chiseled onto the every city gate in Rome. Why would they want to chisel somebody's face on a city gate? Amri, kol dechazi lepartzufa hadin laiti. Hurry back, because we're just getting to the punchline. Whoever sees this head, bring it. What's that called in the Western pictures? Wanted. Dead or alive, Rabbi Meir. Why is Rabbi Meir wanted dead or alive by the Romans? Rabbi Meir is one of Rabbi Akiva's students. He's one of the 24,000. He's part of the Bar Kokhba rebellion. Okay? By the way, you all know the Gemara Masechet Shabbat. It's so famous I don't even bring it. Daf Lamed Gimel. You all remember Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who we mentioned, teaches the Kabbalah to his son for 12 and then a 13th year in the cave. Anybody remember how the Gemara starts? What was he doing in the cave?
Hiding.
He was hiding from the Romans. Why? He is a student of Rabbi Akiva. And they were fighting to kick the Romans out of Eretz Yisrael. Just like the underground, the Irgun, the Stern Gang, right? Rabbi Akiva and his students were the underground, who succeeded, at least for 5 years, to kick the Romans out of Eretz Yisrael. Source 13. A very interesting Mishnah in Masechet Nega'im. By the way, just to, again, pull the strings together, you're now beginning to understand the Gemara and Makot that we saw. When Rabbi Akiva, everyone's crying and he's laughing.
In the process of being built.
Right. And that's why he says, mitkayemet, in the present. Just like the Churban took place, he says, so too the Geula is taking place. Did you all catch that? Mitkayemet, in the present. In other words, not only that Rabbi Akiva was laughing, he was doing something about it. To bring the Geula, to set up the army. There's an interesting Mishnah in Masechet Nega'im, which seems very innocent, and it's talking about, we won't get into the details, of what's the halacha if you cut off a nega. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Shalti et Rabbi Gamliel vet Rabbi Yoshua hulchin ligadvad. I asked Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, as we were walking to Gadvad, betoch hezgero mahu, if it's a suffek nega and you cut it off, what's the din? But the commentaries asks, what is it that these rabbis were going to Gadvad? First of all, there's no place in Eretz Yisrael ever in the Tanakh where the Mishnah mentioned Gadvad. Number two, usually the Mishnah doesn't tell us where they were standing when they were reciting this Mishnah. The Tiferet Yisrael explains as follows. V'igar sinan ligdud. It's not Gadvad, because really there's no word or no place, Gadvad. But they were going to their Gedud. What is a Gedud in Hebrew? It's used in modern Hebrew. Gedud is the platoon, to the unit. They were on their way to the platoon, explains the Tiferet Yisrael. Nir Eli, Dahainu Beholcham Limilchama Bimilchemet Ben Koziba. Rebbe Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva. They were discussing Hilchot Negayim when they were on their way to their platoon, to their unit. Shayabi Mayhem, because they were active participants in the Bar Kokhba Ben Koziba rebellion, Shayabi Mayhem, Chamishim Ushtaim Shanachrei Churban, which was in their time 52 years after the Churban. Vaya Rabbi Akiva Nose Kelav Shem Ben Koziba now. As we saw in the Talmud Yerushalmi and the Rambam, we've skipped the Rambam in Source 9, the Rambam says, Rabbi Akiva was Nose Kelav Shel Bar Kokhba. Rabbi Akiva was a leader of the Bar Kokhba rebellion. Right, do you all see number 9? We shouldn't have skipped it, I guess. It's really important. The second line of Source 9. Share Rabbi Akiva Chacham Gadol Michachmei Mishnaya. V'hu haya noseh kelav shel ben kozi ba'amelech. V'hu haya omer alav shehu ha'melech ha'mashiach. Again, Rabbi Akiva was a leader of the Bar Kokhba rebellion. So, the Tiferet Yisrael continues in Source 14. U'chishara Rabbi Akiva ben kozi ba'amar dinu malka mashiach. Again, this is the political, military leader who is the Mashiach. If so, says the Tiferet Yisrael, the Mishnah in Negayim teaches us an important lesson. That's why it says they were going to the Gedud. What does it teach us? Since when does it mention where the Tanaim were standing? That even when these Tanaim were going out to the war on their way to their battalion, on their way to their Gedud, and their lives were in danger full time, afilu hachi, even then hayalibam kashur ba kadosh baruch hu v'torato kishal hevet begachelet. Like a fire is connected with a coal, what do Jewish soldiers do when they go to war? They discuss Hilchot Negayim. Chever Rabbi Akiva's yeshiva was the first yeshivat hezder. I shouldn't say it's the first yeshivat hezder, because Yehoshua ben Nun's yeshiva was also a yeshivat hezder, and David HaMelech's yeshiva was a yeshivat hezder, and throughout all Jewish history, all the heroes of the Tanakh, remember we learned in Orot Milchama, Rav Kook points out that all the heroes of the Tanakh also were military heroes, and also Torah heroes, and the two don't contradict, because the external and the internal in Judaism, in the Torah of Rabbi Akiva, don't contradict. You see the world externally, you see foxes running around on Har HaBayit. But the Kabbalah of Rabbi Akiva is not to be a mystical space cadet. That's a very common mistake. People think that people learn Kabbalah, you know, they become airy-fairy, you know, they lose their touch with reality. And there are people like that. That's not the real Kabbalah. The chidush of the Kabbalah is par deis. Don't just learn sod, but Pshat, Remez, and Drash also. Also the internal and the external. So Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara, they didn't have Gemara, the Sifra, Sifrei, etc., and the sword, that is the Beit Midrash of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. There's an interesting Gemara Masechet Brachot. It's a famous story which I'm sure all of you heard, but now you'll first understand for the first time. Remember the Sugya in Brachot, which talks about Gamzu L'Tova? Everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu does is for the best. Where do we learn it from? Tana Mishmei Rabbi Akiva. Lo Lam Ye Adam Ragil Omar. Notice, what are we talking about? Rabbi Akiva. A person should always Lo Lam Ye Adam Ragil Omar Kol David Rachmana L'Tav Avid. Everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu does is for the best. Famous story, Rabbi Akiva Avikazil Beurcha. He was traveling. Mata Lai Mata, he arrives at a certain city. Ba Ushpiza Lo Yavilei. He asked to be put up for the night. Nobody was willing to host Rabbi Akiva. What did he say? Kol David Rachmana L'Tav. Or in Hebrew, Gamzu L'Tova. Azal Ubat Badavra. So he went and slept out in the forest. Havi Bade Tarnagola. He had a chicken, a rooster, I'm sorry. Vichamra, a donkey. And a shraga, and a torch. Atazika Kabe L'Shraga. A wind came and blew out the torch. Atashunra achla l'tarnagola. Came a cat, ate his rooster. Ata arye achla l'chamra. A lion came and ate his donkey. Sounds like Chad Gadya, right? Amar, what did Rabbi Akiva say at every stage? Kol David Rachmana l'tav. All this is for the best. Bei Belelya, that night, chevra, focus. Ata gaisa, a force, a unit from the Roman army came, Shave Lamata. They took that entire city where Rabbi Akiva wanted to sleep. They took that whole city hostage. Amar Lehu, Rabbi Akiva says, La Vamri Lehu, Koma Shosa Kadosh Baruch, Akol Tova. Just like I said, it's a good thing that they didn't host me. Otherwise, I would also have been taken hostage with the whole city. Right? You all heard the story, right? Chevra, you're adults. You have to start asking questions. Question number one, Since when does Rabbi Akiva, the greatest Rosh Yeshiva probably in Jewish history, whom Moshe Rabbeinu and Masechet Menachot, that we just learned the first part of the Gemara says, Ta'akadosh Baruch Hu, you have a Rabbi Akiva and you give a Torah through me? Right? Rabbi Akiva is maybe the greatest rabbi in Jewish history. Since when does he walk alone? Right? Now you understand. If we know historically that Rabbi Akiva, together with being a Rosh Yeshiva, was also one of the heads of the Bar Kokhba rebellion, why is he walking around alone? He's wanted, dead or alive. He's in the underground. He's walking around with a bow and arrow. He's living out in the forest with bonfires. Right? Now you understand, why doesn't anybody in the entire city want to host Rabbi Akiva? If Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu or the Lubavitcher Rebbe would knock at your door and would you ask you, Adi, could you put me up for the night? What would you say? Right? It would be the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life, right? To host Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu, right? Entire city, not one person wants to host Rabbi Akiva. Why? He's wanted dead or alive. He's in the underground. Now, doesn't it sound a little too fantastic, a little too coincidental, that, by the way, that it happened to be that night that Rabbi Akiva wanted to sleep in the city, the Romans came and took the entire city hostage? Now you understand. Apparently, they were on his tail. They saw or heard that Rabbi Akiva came into the city. They looked for him, they couldn't find him. But he is the head of the rebellion. They're not going to take chances. They took the whole city as hostage. Right? You just put one and one together. All of these small, innocent gemarot were able to bypass the censor because they were so innocent. Because it seems that they... Because the Bar Kokhba and rebellion isn't mentioned here. Right? Just put one and one together. Source 16. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Oh, we don't have time to see this. But it tells about Rabbi Akiva, who says, when I was in Arabia, I heard that they called it Dichra Yuvla. When I was, that's in Arabia. When I was in Africa, I heard them calling this that. When I was in Europe, I heard... Rabbi Akiva was in Europe, Africa, and Arabia, Asia. This was before frequent flyers. What was Rabbi Akiva doing in all these different continents? Running away. A, he was probably running away because he's wanted dead or alive. B, if this is really the Ge'ula and the Mashiach, he's trying to get Kibbutz Galiot. Maybe first to get them to give money to fund the Bar Kokhba rebellion, to make Aliyah. I would say Rabbi Akiva is the first Shliach B'nai Akiva. Right? That's exactly what he's doing, trying to get everyone. And by the way, now you're beginning to understand why those who founded B'nai Akiva called it the Sons of Akiva. Because this is the Torah that we're talking about, the Torah of the Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, the external and the internal, the spiritual and the physical, the military, going together. Just one last Gemara, Source 18. Do you remember when Rabbi Akiva wanted to honor his wife? How did he show his love for her? What did he buy her? A crown of
Yerushalayim.
Now you understand why. Right? Yerushalayim was the crown, the achievement of Rabbi Akiva's, that was his goal. And the most dearest thing to him and his wife. And that's why he bought her a Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. If so, what does the Gemara say they died a terrible death? Again, they were killed by the Romans. But what does it mean that they died of askara, which is usually translated as choking? I was once on a tiul in the Marod Bar Kokhba, in the Gush Etzion area. Has anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
Okay. They're very, very thin caves, and there's one, sometimes two openings. Why did they make them very thin, the entrances? Because if a Roman would even, by chance, discover the cave, they could only come in one at a time, and as soon as the Romans would come in, they'd chop their heads off one by one. How did the Romans get them out? Exactly. They built fires by the entrance of the caves, and the rebels, the Bar Kokhba's 24,000 students, had only one choice. If they would come out, they'd have their heads chopped off one by one, or, and this is what happened to most of them, they were choked to death. Anyway, to summarize what we saw, we now understand the connection between the Kabbalah, which is the internal Torah, but not the internal, mystical, secret Torah, but it is the Torah which is united with the rest of the Torah. Rabbi Akiva was not a space cadet. This is the original Torah of the Hesder Yeshivot. You understand why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, bonfires, this is how their Beit Midrash was living, together with bows and arrows, as they were part of the Bar Kochva rebellion. And now you understand why it was such a tragedy that they were killed, and why we mourn for them more than we mourn for everyone. Because it wasn't only the death of the Torah, it was also, if Chas V'Shalom, the state of Israel, would ever be annihilated, Chas V'Shalom, it can't be, because we'll learn the sources, that there's not going to be another exile. That would be a very serious tragedy. And that's why we commemorate these students. What happened on the date of Lag BaOmer? Historians say that apparently Lag BaOmer was like the Yom HaTzma'ut of the Bar Kochva rebellion. That was when they declared their independence, and that's why it was a holiday. And over the generations, it became a little, because of the censorship, self-censorship, it became a little hidden and less known what it was all about. Hopefully made a little more sense about the connection between all these different points and to understand what the real Torah, the Tanaim, I know I always used to picture the Tanaim as old 90-year-old men with long white beards. And now you understand that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon and all the Tanaim, they were fighters. They were Hesder boys. Sorry?